Hello and welcome to Global Sanctuary for Elephants podcast, Global Rumblings. Global Sanctuary for Elephants, or GSE for short, is a non-profit organization with a mission to create vast safe spaces for captive elephants where they are able to heal physically and emotionally, often from very traumatic pasts. I'm your host, Nadia Mari, and I'll be taking you to the lush jungle of the Mato Grosso region in central Brazil, home of GSE's initial project, Elephant Sanctuary Brazil. Currently home to six female Asian elephants, lovingly referred to as the girls. Hello, everybody. Welcome back and thank you again for joining us this week for a new episode of Global Rumblings. Let's head straight over to Brazil to say hi to Kat and Scott. Hi, you two.
Hello, Miss Nadia. How are you?
Hi, Nadia.
I'm fine. Excited and looking forward to talking to you again about elephants and about the sanctuary. Last week, we left off with you arriving at the sanctuary, despite having a truck breakdown and a truck driver who maybe should have considered a career as a racing driver. Lady unloaded fast and had a good night's sleep. I was watching a video of her on her first day wandering around the habitat, and I noticed how you were communicating with her. You were talking in with her and were very positive. And I remember we talked a lot about communication in our last episode. So how did the communication with Lady continue and develop at the sanctuary? Because she was very, I'll say, aggressive in the sense that she did slam her head and her trunk against fences just to tell people to back off because she was uncomfortable. So how did her communication develop over the first few days?
Looking at Kat. who's gonna take this one?
How her communication developed with us was different.
You're far away.
So you first.
Yeah. So, you know, in those first couple of days, there wasn't a whole lot happening as far as aggression or anything like that. It was mostly just watching how she was adapting, watching how she was observing the other elephants, her curiosities, her insecurities, and really just trying to get an idea for how she was settling in and what were her comforts and discomforts and how does she show those. You know, with elephants, you know, I think, and with ladies specifically, it was, I think, for us, a reminder to step back from expectations. We always talk about it. We always talk about, you know, during the transport, during the relocations, people will ask us, who do you expect her to get along with? Who do you expect is going to greet her first? How do you expect she's going to respond? And we always say, we just try not to have those expectations. But Lady really force that issue, because as much as we want them to interact with other elephants, she was clearly saying, I am not ready to interact. And so she was just very definitively saying no. And that was just simply, you know, watching the elephants, showing curiosity, but keeping a distance, never taking those steps forward to see the other elephants. Or not forward to see them, never taking a step forward for physical interaction with the other elephants.
In the video, I also, you mentioned that you'd actually done treatment on her cheek abscess for the first time in the morning. Is that something that she communicated as well, i.e. physical discomfort? Or was that something that you just said, it's a necessity, so we'll just start today?
Yeah, so with her cheek abscess, you know, it's something that had been there for a long time. We talked about it last week, that something I thought was just a temporal drainage, but it was not. It was definitive abscess in the side of her face. And that was just a quick little spray, a little quick, nothing too much for her treatment, just trying to let her know, hey, we're going to start looking after you. And anything you can do to try to let them know that you see what's going on with them and that we're trying to help, most of the time ends up being a positive, especially early on.
Yeah, I mean, she was really good. We figured we would try to do foot soaks with her, but for that, she has to come in the treatment chute, which is more narrow and could be a little intimidating for somebody who's insecure. And we wanted to work on positive reinforcement training with her and a little bit of bridging and a little bit of holding her trunk and that sort of thing. And we weren't sure how any of it was going to go, quite honestly, because she was a little beastly at the zoo. She was great. She walked right into the chute. She walked right into her foot soak. She put her trunk through between the bars that I had asked her to. And I specifically chose those bars for safety reasons. They are the least open and the least flexible if she were to try to do something, but she put her nose right through the bars, put her trunk in my hand, and just rested it there. Aww. And then I would give her food reward and bridge her. And honestly, I was so impressed with how good she was for that first time, because she just wasn't like that before. So she's a good girl. For me.
Is Kat's Midas touch. I mean, she was, you know, for sure. Kat was the golden child for Lady. She resonated with Kat. And that's one of the most beautiful things that you can have is when they find comfort, extreme comfort in an individual, you know, one of the caregivers. And there was a question that came up for something we're doing later on today. Somebody said, mm-hmm. Do they have a favorite? Is there somebody that resonate with more than others? And you know, it's not always the case, but when they can find that in somebody, it's brilliant, you know, especially early on, you know, and then we just kind of
so fast.
Yeah. You know, and they kind of pick a person sometimes.
I'm lovely, Nadia. Why do you sound so surprised?
So Kat was the chosen one, and it was brilliant to see. It was beautiful to see how good she was. A big, you know, for me looking in from the outside with that of one of the biggest gifts Kat brings to all the elephants is her ability.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. For those who don't know anything about me, I do not love compliments, but go for it.
It is Kat's ability to stay very present. When she is with the elephants, there is essentially nothing else going on. She's incredibly present. And is something I've had to practice. I tend to be distracted. I tend to be listening what's going on in other parts of the property, hearing the voices of the guys working on construction to see if everything sounds like it's okay. You know, why did somebody's voice raise on the other side of the pasture? You know, and just wondering what's going on everywhere. And my phone beeps and I automatically wonder if it's somebody I need to respond to right away. And I don't do that very well. And Kat's ability to stay incredibly present is exactly what Lady was asking for. That's not the only thing that makes Kat amazing with the elephants. I'm sure that Lady saw other things, but that's something that Lady, one of the many things that Lady really resonated with Kat.
Well, it's one of the things we found out for Lady is something she demanded of everybody. You know, it just definitely wasn't a me thing. We just happened to vibe well that way. But we did find out as time went on with her working with Scott, because he was the only other person that she initially worked with, that part of her list of demands was that you be 100% present in the moment. And it wasn't just Scott, it carried over to everybody else after as well, but she was very different that way.
And honestly, it wasn't something that we recognized was the key factor with her, with a lot of her comforts early on. You know, I kept wondering what it might be and why she wasn't comfortable with me. And it wasn't like she was really vicious or anything. You know, she wasn't trying to do too much. She would just hit her head sometimes and definitely work to startle me, you know, and just kind of keeping me on my toes. But I didn't realize until a few weeks later, you know, what it was, because it would happen randomly. That she would just hit her head against the bars. And again, definitely not super vicious or anything. But it was more like this calling attention, you know, where are you? What are you doing? Because you would, many times she'd be holding her trunk in your hand, really calm, and she'd still hit her head against the fence and her trunk wouldn't move at all. So she's not trying to grab you. She's not trying to do anything that's going to hurt you. And that's when I started to realize it was like a calling attention to, you know, wait a minute, I have 1 hour a day that I'm asking for. Can you just not turn your brain off to the rest of the world for 1 hour for me, please? You know, and it's really not that much to ask, but it's easier to ask than it is to do for an overactive brain.
So I'll say, like a spiritual teacher, she was teaching you what all the spiritual teachers are trying to teach their pupils: present moment, be in the here and now. And she was that's what she taught you. Was that then later on then also very, very nuanced, her demands, because, or her communication? Because I feel that slamming her head or her trunk against a gate is something quite loud and quite obvious. So did her communication then change as she gained more trust with you?
Yeah, and I guess to create an image of hitting her head against the bars, I mean, many times it wasn't that loud at all.
No.
You know, it's not like rattling the whole cage or anything. It was in the whole fence. It was sometimes just a quick little push with her face against the fence.
Or she'd just do a little like mock nudge where she wouldn't even touch the bar. She would just do it.
Okay.
Sometimes they'd just get people to jump. I mean, she's just...
And that's why I say it wasn't this vicious like, oh my God, you know, everyone jump out of the way. No, she would do it and she'd immediately stop. You know, it was like one little bump and then she'd stop. I mean, we worked with an elephant in Tennessee named Flora. And when we first came, she was angry at the world. And she... That girl rocked the cage. I mean, that girl really caused a lot.
She also took out fences. She shook the foundation of the barn.
She's a little... It was intense.
The opposite side of this.
And she became exceptional. Absolutely exceptional. Became exceptional as the years went on. And after she had some recovery. And one of the things interesting with Lady is she is exceptional, but she still maintains a high level of demand, of paying attention, of being present in the moment. And that being present in the moment has a lot to do with listening to her and putting our insecurities or discomforts to the side. And when we talk about nuance with her, to go back to your question on that, is there's times that as we progressed with cleaning her face abscess, she would lean her face up against the fence and you'd ask her if she's ready and she'd stay there perfectly still, like almost like, yes, you can do it. But then there was like a 2-inch move that would go just a little bit closer, not much closer, a little bit more forward. I mean, a really subtle move. It's like, now I'm okay. But if you tried to do something before that last, yes, now I'm okay, then she would push her head against the fence and I didn't tell you okay yet, you're not listening. And it was, you could have done treatment in that spot perfectly safe. It wasn't like she was far away from the fence. I mean, you're talking really, really subtle movement, you know, sometimes less than 2 inches, just a little kind of slide forward. And it's just this ultimate, you know, little, okay, now I'm okay. And if you didn't give her that second, she's like, you're not listening. And she's much more nuanced that way than any other elephant I've worked with.
Yeah, there's a lot of face changes, a lot of subtle eye changes. I don't remember what we were even doing when we were working with her the other day that she totally pretended she was all good. And it's like, nope, I see that. It's like, that's crank face. It's like, you totally are. And I was like, no, not like that. And then she goes back to, okay. She's like, you're right, I'll play nice.
Yeah, and she shifts quickly. Right now, she's shifting even more, you know, to fast forward. What, 5 years later? I don't remember how many years ago she arrived.
Over
40.
Yep, 5 years this November.
5 years. So she, right now she's having an increased struggle with a lot of inflammation in her legs, a lot of physical discomfort. And just like all of us, when we don't feel well, we're a little bit more on edge. We kind of shift between comforts a little bit, comfort and discomfort. We're a little shorter with our words sometimes. A little shorter with our emotions. And the other day I had somebody with me who was watching treatment because she hadn't seen that before and new to the environment. She asked me about the change in my voice when working with her and why did I do some of the things that I did? Why did my voice change the way it did? And a lady went from being, you know, agitated, this little mischievous look in her face, you know, watch your step, little boy, you know, kind of feeling, to hyper vulnerable. And it became this ultra soft, oh God, everything hurts, you know, and this very, can you do something to help me? And it lasted just for a few seconds. And it's like, yes, I know, I see, sweetheart. I see your pain. I know you don't feel good. We're trying to help you. And then she went back to almost immediately after, watch your step, little boy. You know, I can squish you. You know, just that look in her face was different. And she didn't do anything in that moment. She didn't do anything before and sort of slamming her face. She didn't do anything in the moment of vulnerability. She actually became really, really soft and passive in that moment, but she shifted right back. And we saw that a lot with her, these subtle shifts that are very quick from a comfort to discomfort or trust to distrust. And that was a hard thing to navigate. For me, it was harder to navigate trying to understand some of that because I think she expressed a little bit more of that shift, you know, the evolution, I mean, not the shift, the oscillation with me than she did with you.
Because I'm perfect.
Because Kat's perfect. We all know that.
No,
it's actually on all of our shirts.
She saw a kindred bad spirit in me. She's like, oh, you're naughty too. All right, we can be friends.
Yeah.
So is this vulnerability a possible explanation for her, I won't say distrust, but her need to be more alone and not be among the other elephants at the sanctuary? We had talked about, and I say that I, you know, guilty as charged. We all want these romantic moments of solitary elephants coming together and being best friends. She has been at the sanctuary now for 5 years. We are fast forwarding a little bit, and she has had contact with the other elephants, but even so, she's still a loner.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is that they all come with extreme past. You know, they all come from a lot of trauma, and they all express that differently. They all recover from that differently. Part of with her is the physical compromise of her feet. You know, and if you look at it from simply the fight or flight scenario, she's not strong enough to fight and she can't flee. You know, she's not strong. She can't run. You know, so in that place of physical vulnerability, I think that comes from you know, that can come from her physical frailty. However, we can't ignore the fact that everyone's an individual. And I think we can all, you know, name somebody in our lives who's that introvert. And is she just a hyper introvert? You know, it's very well could be something as simple as that, but I don't want to say that and dismiss the trauma and the impact that trauma has had.
I mean, when she first arrived, we had the theory that a lot of it had to do with her feet. And as Scott mentioned, not being able to run away should an elephant try to do something to her. And that, of course, could come from a past where an elephant did do something to her and now she doesn't feel strong enough. And we would, you know, that came from watching her and watching how she was when she did share a yard with Hannah initially. When Hannah actually got excited at something at one point and trumpeted, and it was all happy. I mean, Lady almost ran down the fence line to get away from her. And when she got there, she's like looking back to see if she's following her. And Hannah, of course, is looking at us like, oh my God, what did I do? I thought it was sweet. And it's like, it was. She didn't take it that way. And it took her, you know, went down the fence line with her. Scott stayed by where Hannah was. I went down with Lady talking to her. And she did come back. You know, it wasn't like it took her 3 days to be comfortable again. She came back within just a couple of minutes and ended up being, you know, about 10 yards away from Hannah again. But we would see little things here and there that seemed like it was related to her feet. And what we're seeing now is more of a confirmation of that, because even though she's physically preferred her space and to be alone, at least in her 30-yard bubble, she does not want anybody, any other elephant to enter that. She's always been very communicative with the other elephants. You know, when they have their parties, she'll vocally chime in. You know, we've seen her close to the other elephants along shared fence lines, so on and so forth. But with her in the state of compromise she's at now, we see much less of that. We see when the elephants like Gigi and Mayo are being silly by one of the close fence lines, and instead of her being interested or her engaging, you know, she actually left the area completely. And that's not something she would have done in the past. So it just lends to the feeling we had had that a lot of that has to do with her physical compromise and just feeling like if something wasn't 100% positive, you know, she wouldn't be able to do anything about it and how that makes her feel.
So we've talked a lot about her horrific feet. The last weeks, as you've just mentioned, have been difficult for Lady health-wise. And you have done lots of posts on her health and how she is doing and her development. So she does suffer from osteomyelitis. Can you explain to us what that is?
We knew she had bad feet, but you can't diagnose osteomyelitis until you do actual radiographs, x-rays of her feet. Because what you're looking for is essentially bones that should be there that are not there. Because it's an infection that becomes systemic, but it causes degradation of the bone. So the bone actually breaks down and essentially is no more. So when you do x-rays, they're missing digits. Usually the most distal digits in their toes are gone, and at least a couple of her toes. And unfortunately, when we did x-rays on her, she was missing several digits. And you can actually see as it's progressed, the way she stands is actually affected.
As Kat was just saying, you know, you see the progression as she is standing, as she's walking. And there's several times that we take video when we don't have a lot of concrete here, but there's a concrete apron in front of the barn. And it's kind of the best way when you see her walking on that, you can see how her feet kind of start in a more vertical position with the legs more vertical. and then they kind of rock out to the side as she puts more weight. You know, the foot hits the ground flat, you know, normal, and then as weight gets compressed on it, her feet rock out to the outside because there's no or minimal structural integrity underneath those toes. One thing that's really interesting with osteomyelitis is normally you see indications on the outside of the foot, infected nails, overgrown nails, not overgrown, bulbous nails, I should say. Not just overgrown in terms of length, but they are just really malformed and sometimes excessively large. You see indications that suggest that there's something more going on. We actually had an elephant in Tennessee way back when, and we were testing our new x-ray equipment. And we
it's not funny.
We were trying to figure out why we were not getting good images. It just didn't make sense. Like, we're just not getting good images of these toes, you know, so everything should be right. Everything should be good.
And that was back in the day when they were, I mean, there was like one set of measurements and one chart for elephants. It's not like it is now where there's a million different, you know, radiograph techniques and blah, blah, blah. This is early on in this whole process. So, you know, it was Susan Makota had like the one set of specs that you're supposed to be using, and she was there doing it with us. And it was that whole, why is this not working? Clearly, this chart isn't that good.
So we went ahead and tested with another elephant, and all of a sudden, with the same settings, she has toes. And it made us realize the one that did not have overgrown nails, did not have infected feet, already had degradation in the bones from internal osteomyelitis with no external signs at all. So with that, looking at Lady, she had gross external signs, a lot of deformation of her feet, a lot of excessive swelling. The area between, like above her toes and her wrists, almost had no definition. Normally it's more, I'm going to say, hourglass shape a little bit, where, you know, from the toes it goes in and then at an angle it comes back out. And hers were just almost vertical there. That swelling was able to get reduced over time. We were able to make quite a bit of progress.
Yeah, I mean, she responded fairly quickly with just being able to move around cleaner areas, different substrates, you know, actually moving her body more than 20 feet. And anti-inflammatories, of course.
So how come there isn't a treatment for this, or I'll say a cure or a stop? Is it, so I'll say like something like antibiotics? Whereby myelitis sort of sounds like fungus, isn't it? Isn't that the Latin word, osteo bones, myelitis? Isn't treatable with antibiotics.
You'll have to ask the medical community why they haven't come up with anything to fix it at this point, but it's not fixable in people either, to use the simplest of terms.
Oh, people can have it as well.
Okay. Yeah. The treatment in general, if you get it very, very early on, it requires hospitalization and multiple IV antibiotics. And oftentimes the body still doesn't respond. So the treatment after that is amputation. So the reality is the only treatment, since she clearly had had it long before she arrived, you know, amputation at that point, not that we would ever amputate an elephant's feet because it's both her front feet. So clearly that would be more than a little bit of an issue. But at that point, you know, you're talking about it would have already spread systemically. So, you know, cutting off her legs might not even do it. You know, by the time she arrived, it was just way past that point.
There have been a lot of extreme measures taken for trying to heal this in zoo elephants. With amputation, with removing some of the digits, you know, with trying to get in and clean everything that can possibly be cleaned, with antibiotic injections into the affected bones, into the affected tissue. Some of those things have had short-term gains, but they're very short-term gains. A lot of times with surgery, it goes to a short-term really positive, where you see much more activity for a very short period of time, and then they almost collapse within 6 months. And many are euthanized within 6 months.
And some can never stand even after the surgery is performed because it's so invasive and they become so painful afterwards that post-surgery they don't get up and they're euthanized within, you know, that week.
And then you to make that a little more relatable, you know, if you have a human surgery where you just had multiple of your toes removed, when is the doctor going to be able to let you start walking around the hospital again? Not normally for a few days, you know, it, depending on the surgery, depending on the procedure, depending on the patient, there's a lot of factors there. But normally it is keeping weight off your feet for a period of time. How do you do that with an elephant?
Yeah.
Hey, lady, don't put weight on your front left foot. You know, you can't stop them from doing that. I'm going to keep them in a restraint area for, you know, an extended period of time. It's not going to create any more additional comfort for her, especially looking at her as an individual. mm-hmm. and what her comforts and discomforts are. And that's a big factor with all the decisions we make is who is the patient, you know, not just what is the disease, who are we dealing with? What is her age factor? What is her comfort factor? And there may be things that we would consider with another elephant, not in this case, but in other cases that you would consider with one and not with another because of the energy of that individual.
You know, we have spoken to many other facilities, many other veterinarians, horse vets, you know, not just elephant vets, zoo vets, whoever you can think of, to try to see if anybody has tried anything that they even saw a partial improvement, because we all know nobody's going to cure it. But hey, if it makes them more comfortable, let's try this. And it's everything from, you know, cold laser therapy to supplementation to, I mean, energy work to everything you can think of, ladies probably had done to her, all with different degrees of success. But the reality is when she showed up, we did not expect her to be at the sanctuary for more than a year with how severe her feet were and the swelling that she had in her legs and the stiffness in her shoulders that caused us to wonder if it had already traveled that far and everything else that was going on with her, not just the nails, the shape of her pads, everything.
Her back feet were affected.
Yeah. I mean, because then we had concerns that at some point, is she not going to be able to stand properly on her back feet? Because at least if the backs are good and the fronts are bad, they can shift their weight back a little bit. Mm. I mean, there were so many things that were wrong with her physically that we didn't know how long she was going to have at sanctuary. And we knew that before we took her. We knew she could definitely be one of those elephants that you bring to sanctuary. And she has 3 months and passes away. And as we've said before, for us, that's enough. You know, it does tend to make sanctuaries a target with other zoos and other facilities being like, well, she was fine and we sent her to you and she died in 3 months, because they actually do say that, even though you have pictures of how terrible her feet were. You know, it is that, oh, she was fine until she got to sanctuary and then she died. But we know that's coming and that's fine. We're not going to deprive her of possibly having, even if it's just a few nice weeks, because of the retaliation that's going to come after. Being that it's 4 years later and
she did great. I mean, she, there's several segments within that where she was wandering all over the place, you know, and she still was climbing in and out of the creeks and going up areas where a crippled elephant really shouldn't be able to go, but she just
areas where almost none of the other elephants aside from Hana and Maya have ever gone.
Yeah, very exploratory by nature, and she just had a perseverance about her, a strength that was clearly she had a strength about her and a will to fight and a little spunky attitude. And, you know, and with that spunk, we talk about all the time that is something we embrace, you know, show me that attitude, girl. I mean, show me who you are. You know, if you want to be a wild child, okay, be a wild child. You deserve it. And if it means I can't do as much for you, okay, that's fine. You deserve to be however expressive you need to be for yourself to feel like you can celebrate your own life. Yeah. You know, through that, she has been absolutely exceptional in so many ways. We have learned, I have personally learned more about what it means to be present for elephants than I have from any other elephant in my life. And I've worked with some hyper aggressive elephants, much more aggressive than Lady.
Sure.
But the level of awareness and level of being just being present was, the expectation of being present was different with her. And that's been tough to teach new people. The other thing, going back to her feet for a minute, that's been really challenging to teach new people is accepting that we have some limitations with what we can do for them. If we try to do too much, we might cause more harm than good. And we've seen that even with trimming her feet. And we've had people here who have a lot of elephant experience and look at her feet and like, can't we just trim them more? Can't we do this? Can't we do that? And I have gone through multiple cycles of, can we do more? Let's see what happens. In a normal elephant, you would trim almost all of that tissue off. And with Lady, you just can't. And you could see indications of like a delamination of the pad. And we think if we go too far, that's going to make the pad that's there weaker. And it may delaminate sooner than it normally would. And what can we do to keep her as comfortable as possible for as long as possible? And there are times that I have been here at night with Kat saying, I think I want to try to do a little bit more. And I go down the next day and I do just a little bit more. And then it just gets that you need to stop. Not excessive by any stretch of the imagination, especially if anybody looks at elephant feet, they would say, you should be doing more. But she would have these very much line in the stand, you can't do anymore. And there's sometimes even a little bit extra trimming that would normally be good would stop her from exploring for 3 or 4 days. And it just didn't make sense, you know, for everything that we would normally build, it didn't really apply to her. A little bit unique scenario with that. But again, going back to each individual is different. We have to honor that. We have to look at what's happening in the moment, make the decisions based on what's happening with her and what her response is, and honor her first.
Yes, because I remember Kat said in the last episode that Lady liked to play with the straps in the container that you could possibly put underneath her belly to support it, but she didn't want that. And then you actually said that she's one of the strongest elephants you've known. So despite her, I presume, very painful as well, crippling foot health condition, she's wandering everywhere. I'm looking at videos of her in the male Asian habitats. A very strong and a very amazing elephant that... that she is, as you said, still enjoying life on her terms. And yes, I understand it must be very frustrating to not be able to do as much as you'd like to do. But as you said, you have to respect her.
Yeah, that goes back to what is sanctuary all about, you know. Yeah. And that's, you know, it's in that her lessons to us extend well beyond what it means. Sorry, Pete Lee is chirping in the background.
Little parakeet again.
You know, we can teach what sanctuary is all about, giving them space, giving them autonomy, giving them, you know, all those things. But when it comes to medical and having limitations, what we can do, it's hard to swallow. But then you see the life that she brings, way she celebrates every moment. And it makes it that much easier to swallow because you see that joy that she has.
Yeah. So we're running out of time. So I'll let you go. And then next week we can catch up for our next recording and talk more about Lady and her first months and weeks, and also which elephant you did first have a small encounter with at the sanctuary.
That sounds good. We appreciate it again, Nadia. It's always a pleasure to talk with you.
Bye.
Bye.
That's all that we have time for this week. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. And if you did, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss another episode. Another great zero-cost way to support us is by leaving a 5-star rating or a glowing review, as this helps other people discover the podcast. Thank you so much, and until we meet up in 2 weeks' time, take care. Oh, 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 oh.